Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, we're going to finish up the story that we started the last 2 hours with Mark Leslie in this segment, and then we're going on to other exciting things. So stay with me, and we'll talk with Mark Leslie right after this.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you by Amtrak. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Plan your 15% saving getaway today at Amtrak.com and click on deals and look for See New York and save 15%.
I have Mark Leslie on the line. This is something I absolutely never, ever do, but he is such a goldmine of information. And one of the things that we discussed yesterday on the telephone, he is in Dublin, and we were talking about the effect of the Brexit situation. Should it go through exactly as, I hate to say planned, because it seems like such an incomplete plan, but should it go through, the effect it's going to have, not only on those travelers carrying British passports, but also on those travelers carrying American passports. So you started to tell me yesterday that you have plans to go to Spain in June, and that the part of the trip you are most not looking forward to is entry into and potentially exit from Spain.
Absolutely. Heretofore, most European airports have three channels. They have full European citizen channels for countries within the Schengen area, where we've all signed a treaty to disregard the need for passport controls. They have a special channel for UK and Irish flyers because Britain opted out of Schengen, and because of the inconvenience and chaos it would create to have any separation between the Irish Republic and the United Kingdom because of the border in Northern Ireland, Ireland willy-nilly had to stay with Britain in their special border area. But the Europeans were good enough to set up separate channels for the non-Schengen European passport holders. And then all other third-party countries go through a third-party channel with longer queues and less people on it. So the best thing was to be a full member of Europe in the Schengen area. The second best thing was to be British or Irish or Swiss or whatever and go through the associated countries with their own special channel. And the one thing you didn't want to be was third-party country, i.e. US or any other non-European passport holder. But suddenly, the British are tipping themselves right out of Europe so that they won't be eligible for either the Schengen channel or the associated EU members channel, who just haven't signed up to Schengen. They are suddenly going to be treated as a third party, which means that one quarter of all of the air flyers in Europe who were dealt with in one or other of the two Euro channels are suddenly being dumped into the third party channel. They're not going to create any special channel for former EU countries. They'll just say, take your chances with the rest of them. So suddenly, US travelers who might have been 10% of the people in any queue will suddenly find the queues doubling and tripling with every British passport holder traveling anywhere in Europe will be in the third part, the undermanned third party queue. So the Americans technically won't be any more inconvenienced than they were before in being a third-party country, but they will be grossly inconvenienced by large numbers of slightly cross British who won't have been used to being in that queue at all, and I'm sure will be, extremely grumpy and badly behaved over the whole idea, because they'll be convinced that this is a special punishment being inflicted on them for Brexit.
Yeah, and it's a shame that we in the U.S. get the overflow of that, because I have to tell you how often we have landed in Europe, and there is the line for people who are holding passports from EU countries, and because of the flight that we are on, maybe 90% of the flight are EU-carrying passport holders. So yeah. When we would get to a place at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, because that's the time you're going to land. You're going to land somewhere between 5 a.m. and 8:30 in the morning, wherever you're flying to in Europe, because you're going to be leaving somewhere between 4 p.m. and 10 o'clock at night. And so, depending on the, you know, the destination, how many hours of flying, you're going to get there relatively early in the morning after a transatlantic flight, and you're, I don't care what class of service you're in, you're still not at your best. And when we get there, and 90% of the people get into that EU line, we whiz through the immigration control process very quickly. Now, if you take those people that would have been in the EU queue, who are Brits, who suddenly are now being thrown into the line with us, that absolutely is going to slow down our progress, and it doesn't thrill me whatsoever.
It'll neither thrill them nor you, you know. It's a lose-lose situation.
Wow.
And I've been warned that just getting off a plane in Spain, which would be 5 to 10 minutes passport control wait, would be nearer 5 hours, you know, during the holiday season, because the majority of their incoming tourists are Brits.
Oh,
and
no
they
kidding.
Won't qualify for either the Schengen line or the non-Schengen EU line. They'll be in the third country line along with the, you know, the people from the Gambia and Senegal and Morocco
and the US.
Whatever, you know, and they won't be very happy.
I have to tell you, it doesn't matter where the people are coming from. They're going to be in that line, and it's going to be one more, you know, time period.
One of the more populous nations in Europe, who, you know, we're always straight through in the EU line, will suddenly be in the third country line.
The third country, not in terms of being a third country, but being the third line of people lined up there. It's really quite tragic, because I have to tell you, after driving however long it takes to get to the airport, delivering your car, getting checked in, going through security, and that's probably already a 4 or 5 hour process of driving to the airport, getting rid of the car, getting into the airport, and checking in 3 hours early for your international flight, which is the requirement. And then being on the plane for anywhere from 5 hours on the low end, if you're flying from Boston to Dublin, to however many hours, if you're going someplace further along, maybe 7 or 8 hour flight, and then getting off and having to wait in a line. And far too many European airports, you walk from the gate to where the passport control is before you get to luggage and customs. And that walk, it can be interminable. If you have any physical challenges, do make sure that you arrange with the airline and let them know in advance, because far too often I have heard people told, we can't, you know, it's going to be a problem. You're going to have to wait because, you know, we have people that have let us know and you haven't let us know. So if you need one of those buggies, those jitneys that take you from spot to spot within the airport terminal, or if you need a wheelchair at the airport, do let your airport know, your airline know in advance. And deal with their customer service so that, can you imagine, you know, you get to some place and you're going to stand there now for hours trying to check through. It's just the thought, it's ghastly. And it absolutely can happen. It's not like this is some fantasy world. I have to thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today. You are always a gold mine of information. And I'm looking forward, hopefully, to seeing you in a week or two. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of Marconi sending the first radio signal from Ireland to the U.S. across the ocean. Imagine that, the 100th anniversary, and I'm hoping that...
Not the first radio signal, but the first voice broadcast as opposed to Morse code, first full voice broadcast.
Right, well, thank you for correcting the assumption I made everybody associated with Marconi. He actually sent also the first voice broadcast from the north of Ireland to the continent, to France, and we've driven up that way. It's quite desolate still. You know, you feel like any minute Marconi may appear. So I look forward to seeing you soon.
The first broadcast he did here in Dunleary. He did the commentary on a yacht race and broadcast it around Europe, funnily enough, here in Dunleary.
Come back and visit with us again soon. We'll catch up and we'll do some recorded interviews with you face-to-face when we're in Ireland. So you take good care. Everybody else, stay with me. We'll be right back. This is Stephanie Abrams.
Eskimo. Oh, my sweet Fräulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn. And my China doll down in old Hong Kong waits for my return. Pretty Polynesian baby over the sea.
Time for more travel talk. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
What fun it was to have all the folks on that we've had on today, delving into such fun issues. So if you've missed any part of today's show, please go to travelers411.com, click on podcast, and you'll be able to download the show and every show for the last 52 weeks. And take us with you wherever you go. If there's something you're looking for and you do a little search at S. Abrams, SABRAMS.com or travelers411.com, and it's all tied together by one search engine. So go into either one, look for what you're looking for. If the interviews that are there in that regard are older than 52 weeks, it will no longer be available for download. However, we upload, for your listening pleasure, the archived audio that's the same as what's in the podcast. And you can hear that forever and ever and ever. So it is our websites are an incredible and at the same time unique reference library for travelers and people that like to go touring about, or as they would say on the other side of the ocean, I love this term, swanning about or hoovering about. You know, they don't vacuum in the UK or Ireland. They hoover. Of course, they're not using a piece of equipment by that brand name, you understand. But I've always find that amazing. So they also use that to refer to if you go jaunting along, you know, you're visiting, you're touring, you're hiking, you're hoovering about or you're swanning about. And on the line with me, who's going to give us insights into hoovering and swanning about in an area with some serious American colonial history that would link to such ideas on the other side of the ocean, is Jill Delaney. And Jill's become a great friend over the last many years when I first met her as in her position as the head of the New York State Tourism Industry Association. And coming up sooner than we can believe, she will be the president and CEO of the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau in Albany, New York. And you can visit their site at discoveralbany.org. And so if I wanted to go hoovering and swanning about... And can you see me looking like a swan?
I sure can.
Meandering my way around Albany County. You've got to bring us up to date on 2019 and what's going on and what we should make sure we don't miss and things that we can see any time of the year and things that have a special date that we better mark on the calendar. So what's happening?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot happening, as you can imagine. We're doing a big focus on Hamilton here in Albany. If for those that don't know, Alexander Hamilton has incredible ties to Albany, mostly related to the fact that he married Eliza Schuyler, whose family was based here in Albany, and the Schuyler Mansion still stands today.
Yes, and we actually had on, I don't remember what her title was. She might have been the curator or the head of whatever. Top person there took us on a tour of the Schuyler Museum, and I could move in there tomorrow.
Wasn't it amazing?
If that would be all right with everybody.
It's absolutely gorgeous, and yeah. They do a fantastic job of weaving you through the history as though you could just really picture it happening.
Oh, and the house is gorgeous.
It is. And the property is amazing. It's right here in downtown Albany.
Yes, it is. And, you know, at one time, there was nothing between the river, the Hudson River, and that house.
Right.
Or not very much as compared to what you see today. But you're high up and you've got this fantastic view. And if you go to sabrams.com or go to travelers411.com and click on the podcast, you can first go in and do a search for the Schuyler Mansion. And I think it's what? S-C-H...
U-Y-L-E-R.
Look for the Schuyler Mansion. See the date that it was that we aired the interview. And then you can go and find the podcast and download it and take us with you. Or you can listen to it archived online, just, you know, streaming live for your pleasure. But I have to tell you, I was fascinated by the house and its history. And we learned in that moment about the connection to Alexander Hamilton.
Yes.
Who knew how to marry well.
Married there in that mansion.
Wow.
And we have more than just the mansion as his ties. As you probably have heard of Hamilton the musical, that's actually touring and going to be in the nearby Proctor's Theater this summer. And so in addition to the regular programming that we do here in Albany tied to Hamilton and the Schuyler family, there's been kind of a boost in programming and collaborating amongst the different venues that can feature Hamilton in Albany. So this programming, we've actually not only got tours of Schuyler Mansion, and they're offering a special tour called When Hamilton Called Albany Home. There also is a wonderful Schuyler Sisters and Their Circle exhibit at Albany Institute of History and Art. And so those actually in conjunction together can make for a wonderful experience here in Albany to just really experience what it's like, what it was like in the days of Hamilton and all of the different touch points that he had here.
Wow. Wow, that's very exciting.
Yeah, I've done the tours myself. They were fascinating.
They do other things there, too, because the day that we went there, some of the staff and volunteers were busy boxing up stuff from some event they had there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they do a lot. And really, Hamilton is not the main focus of that property. He was a blip in the radar of all of the impact that the Schuyler family had on this entire region.
Yeah, they were busy as bumblebees.
Oh, there's an entire town named after them.
It was Schuylerville?
Schuylerville, yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was from fifth grade onward, I was educated in New York City, and the part of the fifth grade curriculum and onward throughout, colonial history and American history is woven into the curriculum. And I can remember in fifth grade, one of the things we had to do was really scrutinize and learn the map of New York State. And so I knew places when I was 10 years old, even had I not been there, as Watervliet and Gloversville and Corning and, you know, you name the town, I could tell you about it.
and if you could pronounce them, that's extra points.
Right, and Schuylerville as well. And if you gave me an empty map of New York State, I don't know that I could do it today, but when I was 10 years old, I could have put all the dots exactly where those cities are located in New York
City. Oh, wow.
You know what? I am the product of a public education right through my master's degree, and they did a good job on me. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back talking with Jill Delaney, the president and CEO of the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau. Check out discoveralbany.org while we're in the break, but we're coming back to talk more, so don't leave me.
Behind the Rockies, under the evergreens, that's right. But I know what I'm needing. I don't want to waste more time. I'm in New York State of mind.
Time for more Travel Talk. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I have on the line with me Jill Delaney. Jill is the president and CEO of the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau. Check him out at discoveralbany.org. Now, if you're driving, please don't drive yourself off the road trying to jot something down, or, heaven forbid, enter it in your whatever instrument you like to use for your calendar electronically. You can go to sabrams, sabrams.com. You'll find the show notes. You'll find links to the podcasts, which will, with the archived audio, go up by the middle of this week coming up. And you'll find links to discoveralbany.org. So it's all there for you. If you're listening for the first time, and when you get where you're going, or you finish up in your home or office, whatever things you're working on, and you don't remember who was that woman, just go to Google and put in radio show, travel expert. You'll find I dominate that space. You can't lose me. Click on either any of the results for sabrams.com, travelers411.com. There's a place. There's everything there. You'll find it all. So we've got Jill Delaney breathlessly waiting to share with us wonderful things coming up in Albany County this spring and edging towards summer. What should we know about so we can get it on our calendars and start planning?
Well, we have some really interesting programming coming up because, if you aren't aware, this year marks 100 years since the start of Prohibition. And so as a way to commemorate, maybe not celebrate, a way to commemorate the beginning of Prohibition, we have quite a bit of programming here, which you can find on our website at albany.org. There's a whole bunch of programming. We have an actual speakeasy here in downtown Albany that you can go to and experience, but there's a whole bunch of programming related to that that I think people could make an entire weekend out of it.
Where is this place?
Well, if I tell you,
you'll have to shoot me. Is that it?
Yes. It's right here in downtown Albany. If you just go to our website, albany.org, and look for Prohibition, you'll see the speakeasy address and all of the programming that is surrounding that.
When does that start?
It's going to be starting, I believe, this spring.
Okay. I got to know about that. I have the perfect outfit to wear.
Oh, really?
Oh, honestly, when you see me, we're going to go together, honey.
Oh, nice. That sounds like fun.
Wait till you see what I wear. I mean, I have the perfect outfit. Yes. Yes. And we'll take pictures and we'll put it up at sarooms.com/blog. And maybe we'll get some, when we go, maybe we'll get some video and include it in Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I like it. The
yeah. You're going to lust after my outfit. I'm telling you. You really are. So talk to me. That sounds like great fun.
Yeah, it should be really fun. And, you know, there's a whole bunch that we do. We have a ton of fun here in Albany. We've always got a lot to do with craft beverage, not just tied to Prohibition, but we have a ton of craft beverage producers here. They've been very successful, and there's always some great programming to do tied to that. We have a lot of what we call our Taste and Traditions programming, and that's an opportunity to explore all the culinary traditions here in Albany. We started it last year as a partnership between our heritage tourism organizations and our restaurant partners, and they've melded those two worlds together to do tastings and workshops and panel discussions and food and beverage tours. It's been really exciting. I think we had about 104 events just last year tied to this. So if you love food and you love history, this is a really fantastic way to meld all of that together into a great experience.
That's very cool. That is very cool. I'm stuck at the speakeasy, though. That is so creative and imaginative.
Yeah, and it's not just at the speakeasy. There'll be a lot of programming that's actually still in development tied to this as well. I mean, 100 years since Prohibition, I think it feels like forever ago, and also just yesterday. So
because it's kept alive in film.
It is, and this will really bring it to life for our visitors.
Wow. You know, there's a hotel in New York City that if you're coming in for business in New York City, you might want to hop on Amtrak and get off at the Albany Rensselaer train station. You're right there, and they've got a car rental place right there in the you might want to make a reservation in advance. It's Enterprise, and they'll have a car waiting for you so you can go dally forth. But if you're in New York City, one of the places that is tied to the whole speakeasy story and the literary group that included Dorothy Parker and the fellow who was the initiator of New Yorker magazine and, you know, Bennett Cerf and I can't even Robert Benchley, the names go on. They used to meet daily for lunch at the Algonquin Hotel on 44th Street. And the reason they met daily for lunch during Prohibition, and it stopped the day Prohibition ended. Can you imagine all these great literary figures dropping everything to go out for lunch? And they called them the Algonquin Literary Roundtable. But they went there because it was a speakeasy, and that glass of water had some gin in it.
Oh, nice.
Or that glass of orange juice had something. It was spiked with something there, probably bathtub gin. But so, you know, there is a mystique. And I don't know if it's just something, there's something really, you know, like it's like getting away with murder. You know, it's,
right.
There's something so, as my mother would have called it, Sneaky Pete. You
know, it's, right.
It's,
right.
I love the whole story.
Something exhilarating.
Yeah. Well, I got to experience this. So, and do they, is it just, is it an exhibit or do they actually serve there? Can you?
Oh, they actually serve at the speakeasy. Yeah. And,
oh,
you know,
gosh.
You have to knock and have the password. And you know, they, from the beginning, it is as authentic as it can be.
Wow.
And still be legal.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to be talking about that more on the air, and watch for my blog, people, sabrams.com/blog, because I love things that have that kind of quirky twist and yet are related to something real and historic.
And we have a lot of that here, being that we're a 400-year-old city, so we have a ton of history, but it's really fascinating. And some of what we're talking about and doing with that this year is related to our literary legacy, because I think what a lot of people don't realize is how much of a tie some majorly famous authors have to Albany, including Herman Melville, who lived here. Just I could see his house from my office.
Do you know when Melville lived in Albany?
He spent his formative years here from 1830 to 1838.
Right, because you're going to have a really big tassel, fisticuffs with Berkshire County, because and listen, for you Melville people, Moby Dick and the like, come to Albany County, go to the Melville House. Now you say you can see it from your office, so is it in Quackenbush Square?
It's in Clinton Square. So Quackenbush is right on the edge of Clinton Square.
So you can
walk
to it.
Right across the square from here.
Right. And there's a couple of really cute restaurants there that are like colonial in feel and very Dutch feeling and darling.
Yeah.
But go visit there. And when you're all done doing all the wonderful things, which is going to take you days and days and days or more, in Albany County, find your way to Berkshire County, because if you're on the Melville Trail, after you've seen where he lived as a child, you can see where he lived as an adult and wrote Moby Dick at Arrowhead, which is in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Have you ever visited Arrowhead?
No.
Okay, so here's the deal. You will take me to the speakeasy and Melville's home, and then I will take you to Arrowhead in Berkshire County. How's that for a deal?
Sounds like a date.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, it's... You know, sometimes it's very difficult unless you have some, you know, if you want to see the polar bears, it's just one place you can go. So you don't have a choice. But for the most part, the reason there are malls is because nobody wants to drive a distance to go to one store and then get in the car and drive a big distance to go to another store and drive a big distance to go to another store. You put it all together and you make yourself a little trail.
Right.
And so what a nice thing that would be, to go and follow the Melville Trail that leads you into Albany County, do all the wonderful things there are to do there, and then head across the mountain into Berkshire County. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back finding out. I'm learning a lot today. I had no idea about the Melville connection. I mean, you are a goldmine of information, my dear. Talking with Jill Delaney, President and CEO of the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau. Check out discoveralbany.com. There's a link at sabrams.com. We'll be right back.
In the front of a Sunday in New York, you can spend time without spending a dime, watching people watch people pass. Later you're pausing in one of those stores, there's that face next to yours in the glass. Two hearts stop beating, you're both too breathless to speak. Love smiles a greeting, then the dream that has seen you.
Time for more Travel Talk. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
There are people that I know and love that I purposefully invite on the air to share a conversation with you, with those people, because I'm always learning new and wonderful things from them. And one of those people is Jill Delaney. And Jill is the president and CEO of the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau in Albany, New York. Not to be confused with Albany, Georgia, or Albany on the west coast of Australia. Did you know there's an Albany?
I did know there's an Albany. And,
yes.
And people like to say Albany, New York, even though we say it like it has two L's. It's spelled the same way.
Well, what's spelled with two L's? Albany, Australia is one L.
Oh, no, it sounds like Albany sounds like it should have two L's.
Oh, I see what
one
you
L
mean.
And
yeah.
Say it Albany.
Yeah. Well, the Albany Scow Club, which is mm-hmm. a professional organization of leaders in the travel industry, and there's, 15, 16, 17,000 members in about 80 countries.
Right.
And so Albany, New York, twinned with Albany, Australia, which is south of Perth. It's on the west coast, and it's a beach area. It looks beautiful, but it's a trip. It's a distance to get there. And they actually, I met them. They came to Albany, New York for the twinning of the two clubs. It was very, very cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. But, I always laugh when people say Galway, New York, which is not all that far from Albany.
It's not.
And it was settled by a bunch of Irishmen from Galway. So how they got Galway out of that, I'm not certain, but it's okay. We'll let them. So
I learned that my family is actually from Galway.
Galway, New York, or Galway, Ireland?
Ireland.
Yeah, where in Ireland?
I don't know. According to Ancestry, my entire 85% Irish lineage is tied to Galway.
Well, I'm going to be in Galway soon, and if I had any information to go on, I'd go, find a church or graveyard or something, because they
are... I'll get you something off the air. You can tell them I said hi.
Okay, that's good. That would be a really good thing. I'd be very happy to do that as we're coming into this St. Patrick's period.
Yeah,
that's very... No wonder you're wonderful. Now, Irish, Irish descendants who don't get too far from the roots, some do, and... They're just very assimilated, and you can't tell that there's a sense of humor under there anywhere. But you've managed to, keep the spirit alive, and I didn't realize that was the reason I loved you, but now I know.
Oh.
Now I know. So let's talk about, what other goodies are you going to surprise me with?
Oh, my goodness. So did you know that we have arena football here in Albany?
No.
So we did years ago have our own arena football team, and that went by the wayside. And last year, the Albany Empire came to be, and they are an arena football team whose season begins in the spring. And it's a lot faster paced than a traditional football league would be or a game would be, because the size of the field is smaller, and so it really keeps the attention of a younger audience. So it's an incredible experience for a family. They play at the Times Union Center, and it's very competitive, but it's also very fun and engaging, and we have had a ton of people, just way more than we expected, coming out to cheer on their team, and they've got hilarious twin brother mascots, Mac and Jack, who you can actually find all over our website because they love to pop up and just be places.
So what is the season then for this arena football?
So their schedule starts April 27th, and it runs through July.
So for dyed-in-the-wool football fans, this gives them an opportunity. It's like, you know, if you're a certified public accountant and you're crazed through probably May 15th, given extensions on income tax filing of clients, and you're a skier, you're not going to get to ski because your business takes you away, but you could go to South America where when it's summer here, it's winter there, and you can ski in Chile or Argentina. And so this, you know, and that makes people really happy who get blocked out of the ski season because of other reasons.
Right.
But to be able to extend the football season,
it's
past,
great.
You know, what, the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you just need a little break, and then suddenly you're ready for football again, and we've got it here.
And it's just normal, regular football with all the same rules on a smaller field?
It is slightly different, and I won't pretend to know all of the rules of it.
That's okay. You can tell me anything,
you know,
and I believe it.
It's indoor, and it's very engaging and fast-paced. I think that's the best piece of it, is that it really does move faster than
regular football.
Love football, but it can take a long time sitting there waiting for something to happen.
Well, yeah, that's what there are games like. I mean, I feel that way about baseball too.
Yeah.
That's why if I'm going to be a spectator at a sport, I want to be at hockey, I want to be at soccer, I want to be at basketball. I want a game that moves and there's always something happen. I can't sit there waiting for, I don't know what, Columbus Day to come around.
Right.
So I get it.
Absolutely.
You have a wind up message for our listeners as it relates to Albany County, New York, because I'm going to guess people think about New York City. They think about Niagara Falls. Maybe they're not thinking Albany. So can you give us that motivational welcome aboard that people need to get fired up to head in your direction?
Sure. Barely 2 hours north of New York City, and so you're going to find a very short drive or Amtrak ride here will give you so many experiences all in one place. We're really one-stop shopping. You've got tons of outdoor experiences. We've got amazing hiking and nature trails and outdoor adventure parks, and then we have beautiful theaters and museums and historic sites, dining, craft beverage, family-friendly activities, you name it, it's all here. You just need to come.
Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. You have a friend waiting in Albany for you, the president and CEO of the Albany Convention and Visitors Bureau, Jill Delaney, who is there with open arms and a wonderful visitor center that you have to go to in Quackenbush Square. You'll think you're in Holland. It's so cute.
Very true.
And
they have
a ton of information there to help you sort out whatever parts of your trip may not be sorted out when you arrive in Albany. And yes, drive along the Hudson Valley, along the Hudson River, or take Amtrak. What a gorgeous ride right along the Hudson. I want to thank you for joining us. We've run out of time for today. Come back next week. It's St. Patrick's Day next week.